coming up on Your Best Life.
He's more excited about our plan than we are about our plan. He's jumping up and down saying, oh, this is going to be awesome. You're going to have so much fun. Now I'm living my
best life. Welcome to another message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. We are praying that this message will bless you and help you live your best life. For more information about Pastor Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
I'm so excited about sharing this message because it's not a message we get to share about a lot and on a Sunday and or over a weekend. This is a challenging message. We're talking about purpose, and this is number two in a series. I started this morning and I spoke about the purpose of individuals' lives and our life as a church together and understanding that meaning. But the important two points to connect is that having a purpose is one thing, doing it is another. So knowing that I've got a destiny and understanding what it will take to accomplish that destiny and applying myself to actually make that happen, that's two very different things. And sadly, in 45 years of pastoring and leading people in church life, and I have seen so many people with so much potential, so many gifts in their life, so much calling on them, and yet for whatever reason, fail to actually implement it and make it come to pass. Just get off course and spend 40 years of their life wandering in a desert. The Bible says the rebellious dwell on a dry land. And you know, this message has got very little to do with a pop psychology kind of angle where we all are a bit broken and need healing or something. This is more about the challenge to follow Jesus Christ. This is about you and I understanding that the Bible hasn't changed. Even though our modern thinking may have, the Bible hasn't changed, and neither has Jesus. And he still sends out a call throughout all the earth to come follow him. And we have all kinds of resistances and stubbornness and rebellion on the inside of our frame that does not want to lay down and surrender to Jesus. We can come to him and get saved, but that's the first step. He wants you to take another step into making him the Lord of your life, not just the Savior of your soul. And when he's the Lord of your life, that means you will do what he says and you'll do what he tells you to do. And that's sometimes more challenging than you think. However, it's always incredible. It's always amazing. It's always an adventure. It's always more wonderful than anything you could have invented on your own. So to know we have this purpose and then to actually do it calls on you and I to make a surrender. And I have found that just doing it once at the beginning of my Christian life is completely insufficient. I need to regularly come back to the Lord and repair the altar, which may have broken down a little, and get back on that altar of consecration to God. Because there's part of our flesh that seeks comfort. It seeks pleasure. It seeks the things that are of acceptability around us in the world. But to say I'm going to follow Jesus Christ actually calls for an area of living and a range of living that is going to take you to a higher level. But let me tell you, another level and a higher level is going to call on you for greater devotion and a greater sense of yieldedness to God. And some decisions you make will reflect that. Every time you make the decision to come to church, every week you're in church. And I was thinking tonight about somebody who I know is hoping and planning on being used by God and serve the Lord. And you know, they turn up at church once a week and they told me about that. And you know, I'm at church like every week, at least five times. And most weeks, many weeks, around 10 times. This last week seems like 20 times. I'm in meetings, worshiping, praising God. I'm telling you, the idea of I'm going to serve God and do all this and thing that, you know, turning up once a week and choosing which service am I going to go. That just isn't it, friends. A devotion calls for a level of givenness to God. And some people, I hear them say, oh, but I got three kids, I got two kids or whatever. Go ask Reuben and Deb McIntyre about having kids and turning up at every service. Go and ask Phil and Chris Pringle about having three kids, sitting in every service, like in the early days of this church, staring at chewing gum on the bottom of seats and lying under. I mean, we sometimes are so tired at the end of a Sunday, we forget our kids. They're just lying under the seats. And I'd get home, I'd say, have you got Rebecca? And she's, no, I thought you had her. Oh, no, she's back at church. And so we go down here, she's, mwah. That happened once. And but there is like, I'm just trying to say, get real. Don't be living in this destiny dreamland where you're just living like a fairy princess and everything's working out for you. Most, the fairy princess part is about 1% of the call of God. The rest of it is very pedestrian, very ordinary, sometimes just like hard work, just like very challenging, and that is fulfilling the will of God. Jesus said in 1 John 3:8, as he says about Jesus, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Okay, so I just want to talk about the purpose of Jesus for a minute. Why did Jesus come to earth? What was his purpose? To dismantle and destroy the works of darkness, the works of the devil. And the devil is at work in people's lives, trying to make him suicide, trying to make them get addicted to things, trying to get them to make a complete mess of their life by tempting them. Come over here, you're going to really love this. And you go over there and you do like it for about 5 seconds and then it's just horrible. And the consequences some people live with for the rest of their lives. And the devil has effectively destroyed another human life, trying to destroy their purposes. And then Jesus comes and says, come to me, I'll fix it up. I'll save you. I'll get you out of a mess. I'll get you out of a trap. I'll break the addiction. I'll heal the past. I'll fix the wounds. If you just come to me. And you come to him as Savior and you go, oh, that's so awesome. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. But then he says, come further. Come follow me and make me your Lord. And I'll give you a purpose in life that'll exceed anything you could ever invent for yourself. And so Jesus came with purpose. And every single one of us in this room have been born into the world with a purpose that we are to fulfill. Here's another one that Jesus said about his purpose, John 12:27. My soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Now he wrestled with the purpose of God. Three times he prayed in that garden, please, God, now I know this is my purpose, but I've come to this point and I don't know if I'm up for it. And many of us can feel like that, totally inadequate, even not wanting to. And if Jesus felt it, then certainly we're going to feel it at times where we say, this is just a bit too much for me, God. I don't know that I'm going to make it. And I've said that plenty of times to God, but I'm still here. I didn't think I was going to make it. But here I am standing still, getting through it all. And I salute any pastor who's standing after 20 years or 30 years of serving Christ. Because I've seen so many get taken out and get hit. I've seen so many Christians get taken out. And if you are going to make it to the end, you have to make a very solid commitment in your heart. I'm committed to following Jesus right to the end in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Yeah. So Jesus says in John 6, verse 38, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So you've got a will. You've got a will and you're going to make choices in life. And God doesn't expect you to not use your will. He does not expect you to sit back passively and do nothing. The steps of a man, the Bible says, are ordered by the Lord. So you've got to step out. And as you start walking and making decisions, you'll find he'll guide you. You go to make this decision. He says, just there and do this now and go there. And you will find guidance comes as you're moving. To obey that guidance can be difficult sometimes because you intended to go there and you're set to go there and it's kind of embarrassing to change your mind. But then you just say, well, look, I'm just kind of not going to do that. I'm going to do this because I know that this is what I'm meant to be doing and this is where God is going to guide me. And so when Jesus says, I've come to do his will, not mine, you will find there's this conflict at times about you fulfilling the purpose that God's got you here on this earth for. Oh, it's so exciting. I am so excited for your life. Sometimes I've felt like the Holy Spirit is talking to me about things that are coming up, and he's way more excited than I am about what he's going to do for me. Not just about in church, but in our personal lives. In my personal life, it's like he's jumping up and down saying, I can't wait for you to get over into your tomorrow because here at this place, there is like a magnificent miracle. But as you're walking towards that tomorrow, there are buffetings coming from here. There are temptations from here. There's human problems here. There's personal difficulties and challenges here. And all of these things trying to take you off course. The pilgrim's progress through this life has got a lot of traps, a lot of things every which way. But if you keep following and keep your commitment to the Lord and stay on the altar, every time you turn up at church, you're on the altar. Every time you bring your tithes, you're on the altar. Every time you lift your hands and pray and worship, you're putting your life on the altar. Every time you witness to somebody, you're putting your life on the altar. You're saying, I'm serving God. Every time we refuse to do that or decide not to, we're taking ourselves off it. And there's no blessing for you as a believer off the altar. You come on this altar tonight. And I am making an appeal to you. As a Christian, or even as a person who's never received Christ into your life, I'm making an appeal to you to come to Christ, to come to Him as the Lord of your life and accept Him, because He is the light of the world. And He will show you, anybody who's walking in darkness will discover the light of life. So here's my scripture, my bouncing starting scripture here tonight, if you like. I just wanted to talk about Jesus for a little while. Romans 12, 1 to 2. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world. That means don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Metamorpho is the word there. The transformation is as great as from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. If you can renew your mind, you will transform your life. If you can think differently, you'll get a different outcome at every level in your life. The way that you reprogram your thinking is with the Bible. Read scripture, meditate on scripture. That's why we have Bible college, so you can soak your thinking and soak your heart in the Word of God. No matter what God's called you to, C3 College will equip you to do that call of God. And you will find yourself soaking in a bath of the Word of God that eventually by osmosis becomes part of your way of thinking. And that will renew your mind and transform your life. And then it says that you may prove or know or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, the will of God is good. The will of God is acceptable. And the will of God is perfect. Okay, so let me just dance on that for a little bit. The will of God is good. If you are being guided towards something that's evil, that's not God. If you think you are meant to do something that is breaching morality or breaching integrity, and it's not a good thing, it's doubtful, it's suspicious, it's sneaky, it's not the Lord. The will of God is good. It does good things. It does good things in this world. It does good things in your life. Second, the will of God is acceptable. You will find that even if the will of God is challenging to you, your heart loves it. In the first part of this message, I talked about when we were called to Australia. For about 5 years before we got here, I knew we were coming. I bought 10 eucalyptus trees and planted them in our front yard when we were building a house. I just wanted to be around something Australia. We were living in New Zealand. Whenever I met an Australian, I just wanted to listen to their accent because it was so cool. And they went to school. In New Zealand, we went to school. And if it was chilly, it was cold. And you can hardly understand a New Zealand these days. You need some kind of translation, Google Translator. What was that? And God bless all the Kiwis. Who's a Kiwi here? Yeah, we love Kiwis. I'm one of those. And it's an awesome thing. You know, but I loved what God was going to put in my life. And you will find a love for something is an indication of where God is guiding you. I love painting. I love the subjects that I do. I don't do subjects I don't love. I follow love as a guiding light, if you like. And I, like, if you love doing carpentry, some people love being accountants. They love numbers. God bless you. You go right ahead there. You just knock yourself out, eh? Yeah. Some people love hairdressing. Some people love buildings. Aren't you glad Michelangelo didn't try to be an accountant, but did the Sistine Chapel ceiling? Aren't you glad Eric Liddell didn't try being a jockey, but he decided to be a runner and left a legacy of testimony that they make movies about? And so there's so many things that God can call every one of us into. Some of you like the medical profession. You love seeing blood and cuts and lungs and bodies opened up and all that. God bless you. You just go right ahead there and knock your funny little self out. You know, it's like, it's awesome. I can't stand that. I don't love that. The will of God is acceptable. And number three, it's perfect. It's perfect for you. It's going to fit you just right. And sometimes that can have an element of humility in it because you want to be something greater. You want to be somebody different. But this thing, you know you can do it. It fits. You're a round peg in a round hole and it feels good. And you have that sense of this is the right fit for me. Don't have that rebel thing. Oh, I don't want to be just conforming to everything. Try it sometimes. Just conform to the will of God and be transformed into a whole new way of life. Now, I want to take you to a story in the Old Testament about when Moses was leaving Egypt. God gave him a purpose. He said, your purpose is to take nearly 4 million, 3 to 4 million slaves out of 400 years of slavery. And we're going to take them out and you're going to make a 3-day journey to Mount Sinai. There you're going to worship me and make sacrifices. I'm going to give you the Ten Commandments and laws on how you should live. That was what Moses had to accomplish. Getting all these people out, and God said, take that stick in your hand, and this is your purpose, Moses, to get these people out and to take them in to that land up ahead of you. So Moses goes to the king of Egypt, and he refuses. At the first time, he refuses. So Moses discovers you have to actually get quite aggressive in bringing the will of God to pass. It isn't just gonna happen while you're sitting on the couch and the will of God isn't gonna, nobody else can do it for you. It's like you've gotta actually work hard to make the will of God happen. And so Moses goes through one or two demonstrations of power that bring all kinds of horrific calamities on Egypt. And the king eventually says, oh, all right, if you're gonna keep bringing these calamities down on us, go. And this is what he says in Exodus 8:28. So Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. Don't go too far with this thing. So what I'm talking about tonight is responding to the call that Jesus sends to every one of us 100%, not partially. Not partial obedience, not just a piece of my life is being obedient, but 100%. I feel like I can preach that on a Sunday night to this crowd in church. I feel like I can say, come on, let's get a little more radical for Jesus Christ and say, I'm gonna give him all my life. I'm gonna sit around saying, oh, by the grace of God, everything is just gonna be perfect and wonderful and happen for me. It actually means I need to go not just not far away, but I need to go all the way, 3-day journey. The temptation of this king was to not go very far. And you've heard that. Don't go too far with this. You know, what are you doing with this religious stuff? Don't go too far. Oh, no, you're a bit over the top with this whole thing. Yeah. Don't be doing that. What? You're gonna go there every week? Oh, no, you're gonna talk about Jesus? Oh, don't go too far with this. Go all the way till the wheels fall off and the seat covers fade. A 3-day journey is death, burial, resurrection. That's what a 3-day journey is. Jesus was dead 3 days. Death, burial, brand new life. When you're going to follow Christ, it means leaving an old life behind. Let it get drowned in the Red Sea. Let it just disappear. No more slavery, no more going back there. Turn away from it all and say, Lord, I'm wholly committing my life to you. The second compromise that the king of Egypt offers to Moses is in verse 7. Then Pharaoh said to him, how long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet know that Egypt is destroyed? Because he keeps bringing down these plagues and calamities. Verse 8 and 9. So Moses and Aaron were brought again to the king of Egypt, and he said to them, go serve the Lord your God. Who are the ones that are going? And Moses said, we will go with our young, our old, our sons, our daughters, flocks, and our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. And he says, not so. Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desire. And they were driven out from the king's presence. Just the men. I don't want you reproducing. I don't want you thinking that you can witness to other people about coming to Christ. I don't want you talking to anybody in this family. Don't want you talking to any of your friends. Don't want you talking to, just keep it to yourself. Just have all your religion all to yourself. Don't try and reproduce yourself. We'll keep your kids and your wives down here in Egypt, and we'll raise up a whole new generation of slaves. You men, just go. Moses said, not so. Every one of us are going. And he said, well, not on my watch. So he brought down more plagues. And finally, he says, all right. And in verse 10:24, Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones also go with you then. But Moses said, you must also give us sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock will go with us, not a hoof shall be left behind. I love that statement. Everybody say, not a hoof. Just remember that as an axiom in your thinking, not a hoof shall be left behind. I'm not leaving one hoof of my finances behind. I'm bringing my business with me. I'm bringing my finances with me. I'm bringing all my circumstances with me so I can worship God with something in my hands. I'm not going to meet with God empty-handed out of Mount Sinai. I'm going to be following him. I'm not giving him partial obedience, not even a 95%. I'm going 100% for Jesus Christ. I would like to think that the Sunday night crowd at Oxford Falls campus are saying, we are ready to serve the Lord. We're going to give him all we've got. We're going to actually start pursuing Christ with all that is in our heart. And listen to me, if you once had that fire burning like that in your spirit, I want to challenge you tonight to renew that fire, switch it on again. If you've never actually yielded to Christ and said, okay, I've been holding on to my life, trying to make up my own plans, my own designs. Here tonight, I let them go, and I want to do what you want me to do. I want to discover my purpose. Make it clear to me, oh God, whether it's tonight or in the months ahead, somehow clarify the steps I'm meant to be taking. Put a peace in my heart. Let me know the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. I'll renew my mind so that I can figure it out, what actually God is talking to me about. But I can tell you this, every one of you have a plan that God has got for your life in this place tonight. And if you will surrender and say, Lord Jesus, here I am, I'll do whatever you want, you will find yourself on the greatest adventure you could ever have. There is not a greater life that you could live other than being a follower of Jesus Christ. And listen to me, that's the truth, go ahead. I am certainly not saying when you follow Jesus, it's all just gonna be roses and bubbles and champagne and cake, and it's just gonna be a magnificent life. No, I'm calling you to blood and dust and picking up your cross, and you saying, I'm gonna be a rugged, ragged disciple, baby. I don't care whether I got a lot or I got a little. I don't care if I've got nothing or I've got a huge amount. I don't care what happens to me or anything. I wanna serve him, Jesus Christ, who saved my soul, and I'm gonna lay down my life and give my life clean away for the kingdom of God. That is the only life worth living, friend. There is not a greater life you could live by the Holy Spirit and through the name of Jesus. I want you all to stand up right now as we come to a close. I want to lead you in a prayer of dedication to the Lord. And if you want to make that prayer to God, if you want to say here tonight, that's me, I want to actually start following Jesus as make him the Lord of my life, or you want to renew that commitment, or you just want to let God know and say, hey, Lord, I am here as your servant to actually fulfill the call of God in my life. Amen. This thing's talking to me. In Jesus' name, here tonight, the presence of God is going to touch you.
C3 Church is a vibrant, contemporary community of people who want to know Jesus more and be equipped to live their best life. We have over 300 churches around the world waiting to welcome you. So find your nearest C3 at c3churchglobal.com.